Through the Sermon on the Mount. A bunch of red letters. Jesus speaks to his disciples and to the multitudes. Matthew chapter 6. I titled this morning's message, Doing Good Things Right, or Doing Right Properly. And Jesus is going to look at a few things that are good, like charity, like prayer, like fasting. Those are good things. But he's going to tell the people listening to be careful to do it the right way. It's possible to do the right thing wrong. And what a shame that would be. So he gives examples of a wrong way of doing the right thing, and almost exaggerated, comical examples. We're going to look at them. And then he gives instruction for the proper way to do the right thing. And then we're going to look at the reasons why people do it the wrong way, people do it the right way, the heart behind it. And then we're going to look at why it's so important to do it the right way and not the wrong way. But if you look at chapter 6 of Matthew, we're going to read a portion here, beginning in verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Go to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Father, again, we pray that you would open our hearts, our eyes, and our ears to you. Help us to receive from your word, hear what you're saying, and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Doing the right things the right way. Doing good properly. The first thing he looks at is charity. Many of the modern translations translate this good deeds. When you do your good deeds, your good works, he gives an example of the wrong way. An exaggerated, comical, hypocritical example. He says, don't be like the hypocrites who sound the trumpet. And you get a picture of your mind of someone, you know, walking down the street. Bum, ba-da-bum, I'm going to the soup kitchen. Bum, ba-da-bum, I'm going to go feed the homeless. Or in church. Bum, ba-da-bum, I'm giving money to the church. Trying to sound an alarm with a trumpet. Jonathan and Sarah not here. He plays the trumpet. It would be nice if he could have brought his trumpet today. Give us more of an example. He said, don't be like that. Try to make a big show. Get everybody's attention whenever you do a good deed or do good things for people. Don't be like the hypocrites. Then he gives some instruction of the proper way to do our charitable deeds, to do our good works. He says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do it almost second-handed, as if it was routine, as if you're not making a big deal about it. Don't indulge in self-adulation. Oh, wow, that was really good of me, wasn't it? Don't go in that direction. Just do it and go on. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. To illustrate this, I love what Jesus says in Luke. If you turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, a couple books to the right. Illustrating how to properly do good deeds. Beginning in verse 7 of chapter 17 in Luke. In which of you having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat.' But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink?' Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what our duty is to do.'" So have that attitude, like a servant. He doesn't get praise for doing his job. Think of it that way when you do good deeds. God's commanded us to do things out of love for one another. Charitable acts. Just do it as if it's duty. What's the big deal? I'm supposed to. God's called me to do this. God's done a lot more better for me. Don't make a big thing of it. So, charity. An example of the wrong way with the trumpet and a right way. Just secondhand without making a big thing of it. Second thing Jesus talks about here in chapter 6 is prayer. Notice when he speaks of all three of these things, he says, when you do your charitable deeds, when you pray, when you fast. These are important things that should be. They're expected to be a part of our lives as followers of Christ. It's not if you decide to do a charitable deed. Whenever you get time, if you maybe decide to bow your head and pray once in a while. No, when you're praying, because that's a must. That's an expected thing. To do things for others, to pray. Now, Pastor Chuck says, you know, charitable deeds kind of deal with our relationship with others. Prayer deals with our relationship with God. Fasting, our relationship with ourselves. But when you pray, when you're praying, don't be as the hypocrites. And again, he gives an exaggerated, comical example. He says, they love to stand on the street corners and shout out their prayers. They love to stand in church to be seen by men, praying big, fancy, long prayers for people to be impressed by them. In those days, the Jews would have three times a day that were prayer time, at noon and three, I think. Chris would probably know. Three times a day, there was a specific time where they were to say their prayers. And see, these Pharisees, these hypocrites, they would purposely make sure that time of day they were in public. Oh no, got to get out on the street corner. Nope, oops, 12 o'clock. Oh, Lord. And say their prayers to be seen by men. He says, don't be like that. Don't pray like it's a show, shouting on the street corners. No, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't do something good like prayer and do it in such a way as to spoil it in a wrong manner. And then he gives proper instruction of the right way to pray. He says, go in your room by yourself. Close the door. Find a secret, special place and pray to God. Prayer is a personal thing. It's not wrong to have public prayer. The Bible teaches that when two or more agree on anything, so shall it be in heaven. Public prayer is good. Two people praying, a group of people praying. But prayer is an intimate thing where we talk to God. And he says, you want to learn how to pray? Do it by yourself. Get alone and talk to God. Remove the whole show of it. Do it by yourself. Develop a conversation with God by yourself. The proper instruction. Find a place. Shut the door. Talk with God. Develop that. And lastly, and as we look at today in verse 16, he talks about fasting. Now, fasting literally is depriving or abstaining from food or drink altogether for a certain period of time, or maybe a certain food or drink for a long period of time. But the idea of abstaining, of depriving your flesh of sacrifice and giving something up, can be more than just a food or a drink. And how he says, when you fast, when you sacrifice certain things, when you give up something, when you deprive your flesh, when you don't do what you want in order to develop your relationship with the Lord, or because you're seeking the Lord, when you, see, that's another thing that's important, should be a part of our lives. We shouldn't just indulge and never think of ever depriving ourselves of anything we desire. If we're going to have a spiritual life that's growing, that's effective, that's healthy, we have to be willing to sacrifice, to deprive ourselves sometimes. I want to do that, but you know what? It'd be so much better for me if I let that go right now. If I give that up for a while. If I deprive myself of that for a spiritual purpose. But don't do it the wrong way. The first verse of this whole section in chapter 6, it says, take heed. This is important. Pay attention, guys. You don't want to spend a whole bunch of effort doing good things and it not matter. And it all turn out to be something bad. Can you imagine? Praying all the time and going out and do charitable deeds and depriving yourself of stuff and all the while doing it the wrong way. Take heed, you don't do that. Then he gives, again, an example, an exaggerated, comical example of a hypocrite who has a sad countenance. He even disfigures his face as he walks around. What's wrong?
I'm fasting. I'm hungry.
Trying to make sure everybody takes notice. Changes things to where everyone notices. So why is he like that? You know, if it's not, I thought, you know, maybe another example. Thinking, you know what? I'm gonna give up the TV for a while to spend more time with the Lord. And you take your TV, unplug it, and you put it in the middle of, you know, backwards on the side of the wall. People walk in. Oh, I'm fasting from the TV. Oh, I never would have guessed. The example of trying to make sure everyone notices, changing things to where people ask, people take notice. Oh, what's different about that? So you can tell them that you're fasting. But then he gives proper instruction. On the other hand, the proper way, anoint your face, wash your face. Do the opposite. Make it to where people don't take notice. People don't recognize or realize what's going on. Again, a side thing. Don't make a big deal of it. Don't make it a part of conversation, trying to bring it up. But just wash your face and go on as if you're not fasting, where people won't ask questions. Proper way. To fast, to give up something, to deprive our flesh. Take heed that you do what's right properly, the right way, when you do what's right. Next, I want to look at quickly the whole idea of what Jesus is getting at. He's not trying to make legalistic rules. Whenever you do something good, never let anybody catch you. Never let anybody see. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. We can get off if we think that. Did you do that? No. Now you're lying. That's even worse. That's not the idea. Jesus is speaking about our heart. And the core issue here between the right way and the wrong way is whether you're doing these things before men or before God. That's the core issue. You see, we have a tendency to look at our lives through the eyes of others. And we try to put on an image and paint a picture and play a part. And we say, well, what are they thinking when they look at me? How can I adjust that? How can I look good before them? How can I make things appear like I'm doing well? How can I impress those that are looking at me? And we look at our lives through the eyes of others, and we're living our lives before men. And that's the whole problem with, that's the reason why people do the right thing the wrong way, Jesus is saying. That's what messes people up when they go to do charitable deeds. When they're thinking about doing it before men. What are people going to think? Well, you know, so-and-so would be real impressed if he found out I did this. Wouldn't that look good when so-and-so seen that? What will people think? That's what messes things up when we pray. We pray wrong when we're thinking, well, they'll think I'm real spiritual if I say that. What words can I use? How can I show my Bible knowledge in this prayer? How can I show my earnestness? I think so-and-so's listening. And that's the problem. That's why people pray in the wrong way, because they're praying before men. Or when people fast, giving something up, when they do it for men, they'll think I'm so spiritual, more spiritual than others. I'll let them know. They'll look at me differently. So that's the whole problem, when they do it before men. And the sad thing, Jesus uses the word for these people that are doing it wrong as the example, hypocrite. Now, hypocrite means one acting, playing a part, putting on a mask. It's a game. And that's the saddest part of all, because their charitable deeds are an act. They're not charitable deeds at all. The definition of charity is doing something for someone else. If they're doing it for the praise of others watching, they're not even doing a charitable deed. It's fake. It's a show all along. Prayer. Prayer is talking to God. If a person is praying for others to hear, he's not even praying in the first place. It's a show. It's fake. It's not real. Same thing with fasting. As someone supposedly depriving their flesh, but all along doing it so that they can boost their ego and their pride, they're building their flesh. The opposite effect. It's fake. It's not real. So Jesus trying to, and he gives us all these wonderful picture lessons that make so much sense, we can understand. Don't blow a trumpet. Don't disfigure your face. Don't shout on the street corner. Do it before me. I'm watching. Look at me. Matthew chapter 23 speaks of these men again. You can turn there if you like. Matthew 23 verse 5. Speaking of the Pharisees. It says, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They love that. You know, I always remember listening to Pastor Chuck talking about the phylacteries. In those days, they had boxes where they would put prayers in their boxes, prayer boxes, and they would wear them on their head. So these Pharisees, they got really big prayer boxes because they had a lot of prayers. They're walking around with this big phylactery on their head. Wow, he must have a lot of prayers if he needs a box that big. And that was their whole point. They wanted to appear by men. They were doing all their works before men to appear to be good. Oh, how horrible. But on the contrary, the way we should do it, not an act, an image. Oh, the other idea, the problem with that whole philosophy. As we view ourselves through the eyes of others. See, what people see, when people look at us, when you look at me, you don't perceive the truth right off the bat. You don't see my heart. You see the outward. And when a person lives for what people see and tries to put on an image, they're looking at themselves from a point that's not reality. And that causes a person to get out of reality. They start believing the image they're putting forth. It's not a healthy way to look at ourselves from a fake perspective, what people see. But oh, how healthy it is to live our lives, to do our deeds before the Lord. Instead of asking ourselves constantly, what do they see? What do they think? Asking ourselves, what does he see? What does he think? That's at the heart of doing everything right, doing the right thing the right way. How does God see these charitable deeds? Is it pleasing to him? How's my prayer life in his eyes? Is this fasting, depriving myself, what does he say about it? How does it affect our relationship? And how healthy it is when we look at ourselves from his perspective and we walk around with that concept of ourselves. That's reality. That's truth. From our heart, he sees who we really are. And a person who walks in that mindset is a person who's in reality and in truth. Knowing who they are, how things really are. Not how they appear in man's eyes, but how they appear in God's eyes. So the idea, in one way of saying how to do the right thing the right way, do it before God, in God's eyes. I like how he says, the secret place. He says, when you go to pray, find a secret place. And when God who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you fast, find a secret place. A secret place. And you know what? That secret place is the idea of our hearts before God where no one sees but him. There's a psalm. Psalm 91. It says, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High. See, it would be healthy for us to live in that secret place. Constantly living our lives before the Lord. And the secrets of our hearts exposed before Him and conscious of that. As we read in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The acknowledgement of Him, that's what it's all about. And living our lives in that secret place, living our secret hearts out before the Lord properly. Oh, proper way. How wonderful. A person like that in reality and truth. And what they see as they see themselves through God's eyes is real and right. So the reasons why people do the right thing wrong is because they do it before men. And the way we can do the right thing the correct way is to do it before God. Finally, I'd like to look at why it's so important for us to do it right, to get it right, to live our lives before God and not before men. And Jesus talks a lot about rewards through this section. I used to, when I'd come across something like this, that your rewards would be in heaven, talks about rewards. I used to try to like skip over them, thinking I'm not supposed to be motivated by rewards, right? So I'll just try to skip over that real quick. But Jesus is definitely trying to motivate us that our rewards will be different if we do it the right way. And see, I kind of had a bad idea when I was trying to skip over it because I had a twisted idea of what rewards were. I was thinking about earthly rewards. Oh, but the rewards God gives, the rewards that God gives are far greater than anything earthly. First of all, what are the rewards you get when you do it the wrong way? When you live your life before men, you put on a show, and you're doing all the right things. You're praying, giving money, giving time, doing charitable deeds, fasting, giving up things. But it's all before men. What is your reward? Well, Jesus said they already had their reward. The thing they're looking to get is to impress others, to get glory and praise from man. And that's exactly what they get. They get exactly what they want. And when we live that way, that's exactly what we get, what we're after. And God's fair. But those types of rewards are outward, just as we live an outward life. They're limited, the rewards for men. I took some, jotted down some notes. They're short-lived. They don't seem to last. We get a little, you know, praise, and then it's over. Doesn't last. They're non-beneficial. See, the praise we get from men, the good things we do for the to be seen by men, before men, it doesn't help us one bit. Doesn't do us one good bit of good. And they're fake. You see, as we play the game and we look to get the praise of men, many times we don't realize they're giving us the compliment in a fake way too. They're just playing the game with us. Everybody's playing and no one's winning. There's this show going on. And people pick up on people that desire praise. And many people will give it to them, even if it's not sincere or genuine. So the rewards from men, outward, limited, short-lived, non-beneficial, and fake. Oh, but God's rewards are the very best of rewards. I'd like to read something real quick in the book of Acts. Turn to the book of Acts, four books to your right after John. Acts chapter 10. This is an example of someone who does the right things, prayer and fasting in the right way, or prayer and charitable deeds. And he does them in the right way. In Acts chapter 10, we read, there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God. See, he feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously. This is the same word for charitable deeds found in Matthew. He did good deeds to the people, and he prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision of an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before me. See, God sees it, and he's pleased. And then from there, he gives him instruction and direction, and he answers his prayer, and he gives him a vision and revelation of the direction he's going with the church. So the rewards of God, when we do things the right way and we do our charitable deeds, we say our prayers and we do our fasting, all before God, from our hearts before God, God is pleased with that. He sees that and he rewards that on a spiritual level. He responds to that. He always takes notice and responds. And the types of rewards God gives are rewards of assurance. Knowing, I'm doing this the right way. I'm right before the Lord. Oh, that's a reward that you can't get from man. This is right. Rewards of peace. There is no peace for the wicked. But peace comes from God. And that's a reward of living our lives before God. Knowing deep down, it's okay. Peace. Rewards of joy. You can get a little happiness sometimes from men, from the world. But it's superficial and doesn't last long. But you can have a very deep fulfillment and enjoyment from the Lord. That's the kind of rewards he gives. Joy, where your joy is full and you're loving life, knowing you're doing right. Rewards of freedom. Uninhibited and release from the things that hold us and bind us. Rewards of clarity. There's always confusion when we try to play the game and make a show work. We never know what to do next. We never know what's real or right. But oh, if we pour our heart before God, live our lives, and do things before Him, what's in that direction is clarity. That's what He desires to give us. Come a little closer. It'll start to come clear. Everything will start to become clear. Rewards of clarity. Effectiveness. You see, someone who does a charitable deed before God, those charitable deeds make a difference. It's not a show. It's not counterproductive. When you, out of love, go and try to help someone because God says so, because He leads you to do something, oh, those things always work and make a world of difference. A side note right now, real quick. I've been a little discouraged about Detroit and about this generation. I heard on the radio that every major city in the United States, the crime rate went down last year. All violent crimes, murder and such. Every major city in the United States, crime went down except for one, Detroit. Murder went up 11%. And we were the murder capital the year before. We were the murder capital of the United States. And the city doesn't seem to be going in the right direction. The only thing that seems to be prospering is the casinos downtown and the corruption and the prostitution. And my coworker said that there was a truck stop up north where they just busted a sex ring where they had sex slaves and there was human trafficking. And it seems like we live in an evil, corrupt place. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of hope of things getting better. And I look at my generation, the younger people. There seems to be so many distractions. No one seems to know the truth. And those that seem to kind of know the truth seems to always put it low on their list of priorities because of everything else there is. You think, man, where's the hope in all this? But I believe that the love of Christ is the most powerful force in the universe. And when I think about what God's love can do, He changed the whole world with His love. Certainly He could change a city. And He turned around generations before. And I know that He can affect any individual in any generation, in any place, with His love. So when we go to do a charitable deed, to reach out and make a difference, we tap into the love of Christ. We keep ourselves out of it and our praise and our glory. We let Him get all praise and glory. It works. God's love can do miracles. He is doing miracles. So, what a motivation. You want your charitable deeds to work? Also, not only are they effective for others, they cause growth. When we do things God's way, we grow. We progress. We go forward. We learn. What rewards to strive after? Worth all of our motivation. Please stand. The idea here, you see, is it's about that personal relationship. do your deeds before God, to be seen by God in secret place. And I just like to encourage everybody here, if you haven't started, to start that personal relationship. And if you have started it, develop it. Invest in it. Everything you do, may it be on that plane before the eyes of God. Oh, it's worth it. The rewards are amazing. It's these three things that Jesus talked about, fasting and praying and charitable deeds, they work well together. As we pray for what charitable deed we can perform. And we deprive ourselves of what we want to do so that we can more effectively do something for Him. And they all complement each other. So I pray that the Lord would give us direction in each of these three areas, what we can do, and that we would do it properly before Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that You make things make sense, and You speak so clearly to our hearts. You convict us. You point right at our problem. We ask, Lord, what do You want us to do? Where do You want us to go? Speak to us as we seek You. Show us how to properly pray, what we can properly deprive ourselves or give up or set aside. What are You asking of us? Show us something we can do that make a difference in our world. What are You asking of us this morning? We love You and pray You, and we desire to live our lives before You and reap the wonderful rewards that You desire to give us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.